We're so close to the Pentagon. Sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the all-new Warbird Radio Live channel. We're happy to be back on the air right across from the runway at Washington Reagan International Airport. Be sure and tune in Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern each week for Warbird Radio Live, followed by a new episode of one of our top-tier shows like the R.C. Scale Builder Show, Hartman & Hines, Over the Front, and the all-new Texas Warbird Report and Wings Over New Zealand Show. Listen, this station is all about community, so please join up with us on Tuesday nights and call in and become part of the fun and part of the family. Thanks again for tuning in, and join us Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
You're listening to Air Raid Radio with Kara and Amy. Today we are at Oshkosh and we are discussing an amazing topic, the WASP women of World War II, the women Air Force Service pilots. And today we will be talking with WASP herself, Liz Strophis. Welcome, Liz. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
Wonderful. Hey, Liz. It's nice to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Have you enjoyed your time here at Oshkosh so far?
I've loved it.
What have you guys been up to?
Well, just a lot of sightseeing.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's great seeing all those beautiful planes out there. Reminds me when.
What's your favorite airplane that you've seen so far?
The one I flew at the time. I loved them all.
Yeah? Wonderful. So for those of you out there who don't know who the WASPs are, they were the women Air Force Service pilots during World War II. And Liz, why don't you tell us why you decided to join the
WASP?
Yeah.
Well, I had one flight, and I fell in love at first flight.
Okay.
Yeah. And I knew I had to fly airplanes, so I heard about this Women's Air Force, and I thought that's where I belong.
Wonderful. Were you intimidated or scared at first? Or
never scared.
Never?
Never.
Not even once.
That's some a brave young lady to go out there on your own, right?
I don't think so.
No?
I just love flying.
But when you joined, you had to get out to Sweetwater. How did that go? What was that like telling your family?
Well, my family, of course, thought I was out of my head. But I talked airplanes, so my one sister, Mary, wanted to join with me. She did join, but she never could pull out of a spin, so she didn't stay long.
Okay.
And I'm glad because I worried about her. Because I loved her so, and I didn't want anything to happen to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about who the WASP were, for those people who out there who don't know anything about the WASP?
The Women's Air Force Service Pilots started way back when women weren't supposed to fly. And so we flew for the Army Air Force, and it was a big secret. They didn't want anybody to know that women were flying. So it was all kind of hush-hush. I didn't care. Well, they let me fly. My best job I had was being a part of a group that we were the fighters. And, well, I'll tell you what, I first was a co-pilot of B-17, but I got sick and tired of sitting in that second seat and not doing anything. So I got into the AT-6 and I started diving in on the B-17s, and I love that job. I loved it so that I was supposed to only fly half a day. But I'd go out and I'd fly in the morning and I'd come back in the afternoon. And any of the fellas didn't feel too good. You know, Las Vegas, the fellas would kind of get carried away. So I would take any of the fellas' job that didn't want to fly. So I'd say, nah, put your name in the Form 1 and I'll take off for you. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I did it so often for about 3 months, and I'd fly in the morning, and then I'd go back in the afternoon and wait around until somebody come and couldn't fly. So I'd take his job, his turn. And I was doing this for about 3 months, morning and afternoon. And you know, I never got sick, but you know, all of a sudden one day I couldn't get out of bed. And I thought, I wonder what's wrong with me. So they took me over to the flight surgeon. And he said, you must be pregnant. I says, oh, no, I'm not married. So, no, I guess you're not pregnant. So then he saw that I had pilot's fatigue.
Too much flying.
Too much flying.
Too much and fun.
Yeah. And so I never got sick of the plane, but I got this terrible feeling. I don't know. It was the craziest feeling I ever had, and I haven't had it since.
Well, that's a good thing.
But anyway, yeah, right. But anyway, I had to lay off for a while. In fact, then we were sent down to, I was flying to Las Vegas Army Airfield, and, well, we had something there called the Waller Trainer. Now, I have a son who knows all about the Waller Trainer, and it shows where the boys, they were, where we were diving, it shows where we would have hit and we'd been enemy aircraft.
Oh, wow.
And it was a very interesting place. And from that, they had the, that's how they got the IMAX.
Oh, yeah. A water break. Yeah. I was like, do you want us to?
Yeah, you can talk.
Oh. I was like, do you want us to wait? Or, okay.
There. That's okay.
Had to take a little water break.
Okay. So I was flying with the Waller Trainers following me, and I was having a great time. Well, we were flown down to Florida, and we were supposed to go to a class for, we were supposed to become officers in the Army Air Force. And we flew down to Orlando, Florida. And we were there for 2 weeks. It was, heck, it was wonderful. It was hot as could be. We'd go to work, go to school, and then we'd have bathing suits underneath. Afterwards, we'd jump in the pool and cool off. We had it wonderful. I was there for 2 weeks, and then we were sent back to Las Vegas. But it wasn't long after that. They said, thank you for your service. Now you go home.
And they sent you guys home without any honors or without anything, right?
No, they weren't even, they didn't want anybody to know we were flying.
Yeah. You guys did a lot of training for a lot of the men, too, right?
I did a lot of training. I did a little bit of instrument training, but mostly my job was scare the hell out of the gutter so they could go and win the war. But it was a wonderful time, and I enjoyed my time. So, yeah. Well, I went home, and we weren't recognized at all. But I did have my wasp wings, and every parade I'd go in it, and they, what are you doing here? I said, I'm a pilot for World War II. You're not a pilot. There weren't pilots, women pilots in World War II. And I said, oh, yes, we were. But nobody believed me.
Well, yeah, you applied at Northwest Airlines after the war, right? And they told you to take a hike.
Yeah, I went to Northwest Airlines, and I showed them all my credentials, and I said, I can handle anything you have. Oh, you know, I was smart as. But anyway, I said, anything you want me to fly, I can fly. Oh, that's fine, but you're a woman. We don't hire women. So that's what I got all along the way, and nobody wanted me.
But that didn't stop you from flying at all, did it? You've gotten to fly some pretty amazing aircraft even after the war, right?
Yeah. I did. I got people like you folks that let me fly.
Yeah, and I hear you got to fly an F-16 at one point, too.
Oh, yes, I did. Well, that was fun. Well, anyway, they had this F-16 there. And
it was up in Duluth, right? Duluth, Minnesota?
In Minnesota.
Yep.
And he said, you want a ride? I said, sure. So I got in the F-16, and he said, okay, you got the controls. Oh, boy, did I have a good time. I scared the hell out of him.
Oh, I bet. I've heard stories about you taking the controls.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wanted them to know that I could fly. But nobody believed me. They took the stick away from me right away. They said, okay, hands off.
Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't want me to be in control.
Yeah.
It was like that all my life. But I don't care. I'm so happy what girls are doing today and having the opportunities they are having. It pleases me.
It's great. There's a lot of female pilots out there now. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of them that want to follow in your footsteps.
Yep.
They have your spirit and your passion and your drive, and they don't care what anybody tells them. They're going to do it anyhow.
Yep.
That pleases
me. So thank you for that.
Yes,
thank you for showing us that we can do it.
Yeah,
you could do it.
Yeah, it's certainly been an inspiration for me, I know, and a lot of the young pilots out there.
And for me as well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even not just with flying, but with life in general. Yep. Like, this is how, that your spirit is how I want to live my life.
Take the bull by the horns.
Yep. Yeah. But speaking of you, you mentioned that people like Amy get you on the plane. Because Amy works with the CAF in the Minnesota wing. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you guys met?
Well, I went out to the CAF and I found her.
And a lot of other great volunteers, too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of other volunteers, yeah. A lot of the wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And I was so appreciative to know that somebody thought I could fly.
Well, yeah, I think you've flown almost every single one of our aircraft at the museum.
Yeah, I never controlled the B-25.
B-25,
but okay. I rode in it. I liked it.
Yeah, she's a great airplane, isn't
she? Yeah, it's a fun ride.
You went a couple years ago at one of our open houses. You went flying with our pilot, Alan Miller, in the PT-22. That was a fun ride.
That was a fun ride. I love everyone I rode in. I honest to God believe I was born to fly.
Really?
In fact, last week I went up with Julie Clark and I did 4.5 Gs.
Did you really?
I don't
think I could do that.
That's a lot.
That's a lot to handle.
It didn't bother me at all.
No? Yeah. Not even a little?
No, not even a little.
So what's your secret?
I don't know, being tough.
I love it. You gotta be tough, right? Can't take any crap from anybody.
Yeah,
well, just got to keep on going.
I just smile at them.
Yeah. So one of the things that I always think about and wonder is the WASP didn't get to go into combat. But if things had been different and you could go into combat, is that something that would have deterred you from wanting to sign up? Or would
heck no.
You would have gone?
What I did in Las Vegas, when I was at Las Vegas, I used to scare the hell out of the gunners. And they didn't know women were flying. And this one time I flew over this one place. And I was, and there's this big building I was supposed to dive in on. And so I was coming up, and it was open to the north, but I came up from the south. And as soon as I got over the big building, I changed the pitch of an Air 86. Oh, what a beautiful roar it made. And every one of them hit the deck. So then I went around like I was supposed to, dove in at them, and I did my half hour. And then when I was through, I landed. And when I pulled up to get gas, I was getting a little bit low on, because I was over at Indian Springs. That's a place where they had a lot of the fighting going, I mean, simulated going on. And so I pulled up to the gas tank, and some young man came out. He had red hair, and his face is as red as his. He said, "Where's that hell of a pilot that just got through flying up there?" I said, "I'm your pilot." He looked at me and he said, "Well," he said, "you scared the hell out of my boys," and him too.
Yeah, that's the point.
And I said, "Where are your boys going?" "Well, they're going overseas, and I want them to live there. Live for them to get there." And I says, "Well, I want them to live after they get there, and I want them to come home."
Yep.
Exactly.
Got to train
them tough. Ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my job, and I loved doing that.
So you mainly ferried aircraft then? Was that your...
No, my job was just...
To simulate the combat.
Gotcha.
So you were the enemy fighter,
essentially,
for the training.
Yes.
For the guys.
Yep.
Wow.
And then at the end of 44, I thought it was a great job, and I loved my job. And so they came and they said, "Well, girls, now you can go home." They had enough fellas come home to take our jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you can go home and lead a normal life. And I thought,
normal? What's that?
Yeah. What's
that's
normal?
Rotten.
What's normal about losing your flying? But that's okay. And I went back home and nobody wanted a woman pilot. I tried so hard to get a job somewhere, but nobody wanted me. All I could do was fly the little Piper Cub wing.
Yeah.
That's all I could do. But so, that's okay.
So what did you end up doing after the war since nobody would take you as a pilot?
Well, I went to the aircraft communication. I was an aircraft communicator for a while, and I was stationed out in Rollins, Wyoming. If you've ever been there, forget it.
I have not.
Anyway, I was there, and I liked the people, but they had the executive. He was a man, and he had a chief, and he was a man, and they had two of us girls. We did all the night work. They worked all day long, and we worked from 8 to 12 and 12 to 8 in the morning. And you know, I got kind of tired of that. And so I went up to him and I said, you know, I'm going to retire. And they looked at me, oh, Betty, we enjoyed having you here so much. I said, the hell with that. Now, I never talked like that with anybody. I said, well, and he said, well, would you go through to go to drive to Arizona? You stop by and see us. And I says, I'll never stop to see you again. I'll be so glad to get rid of this place. I have never been treated so rotten.
It was just a bad job, huh?
It was a bad job. So I have.
So where did you go after that?
I had all kinds of jobs. I went to Firestone Tire Rubber Company. I had a sister living in California. So I went to Firestone Tire Rubber Company for a while. And there's a big air show coming up, so I went. Mr. Firestone was one of the flyers for the air show. So I said to him, I said, you know, I've flown all these aircraft. Now I can fly anything you have, and I can do anything you want, and I'd like to be a part of the air show. Oh, we don't have women in the air show. I said, well,
that's a shame.
That's I quit that job.
Did you really?
You should have said, well, you should, because they'd be way better than the men doing it.
Anyway, but that's the way it was. And they sealed our records for 30 years, and no one knew that women had been flying. I know I was back in my own hometown, and we had a big parade, and I had my uniform on with my wings on. And they said, what are you doing there? This was before we were recognized as veterans. What are you doing in this parade? I said, well, I flew with the Army Air Forces. Well, you did not. Women weren't in the Air Corps. I said, oh, yes, I was. So I kept on marching. But anyway, it got kind of tiring because they always wanted to know what I was doing with my uniform on.
I bet it was really exciting, a really exciting moment for you when you finally were recognized, right?
I was very appreciative when we were recognized 38 years later.
Wow, that's such a long
time.
Yeah,
and that's nonsense that they wouldn't recognize you immediately. I mean, because you weren't part of the Army Air Corps, correct, when you were there, but you followed military lifestyle, and you had to, like, you lived the military lifestyle, and they were like, no, you're not veterans.
Yeah, you're
right. I mean, that's nonsense.
That's okay.
And you guys had to go through training and everything just like everybody else, right?
Right.
You went through flight training. Did you guys go through any other kind of training?
Yeah, we had the training to become an officer. We had that training. Yeah.
And Jackie Cochran was the one who got the gals flying, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What had happened, I'll tell you a little secret. When I was when I was flying, we had a couple girls that crashed, and we found out that the fellows were putting sugar in their gas tank.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's why they crashed. Well, when this one happened, I was devastated. So I went to the officer at our field, and I said, now this woman should be recognized as a victim. I said, and I can't let this go by without telling about it. Okay, go ahead. You want to quit the program? That'll be all you need. They've been waiting for something to happen that they could close your program down, and that's just what they're waiting for. What did I do? I didn't say a word.
Oh, wow.
I feel very badly about that, but I didn't want them to close
what could you do? Because they would. They yeah, would they if you would have stood down. Up, they yeah. would have closed it. And then everything that you, all of you and all the other gals and the gals who crashed, everything that you worked for would have been just taken away from you.
Yes, well.
I mean, it was a rotten situation.
But it was a terrible situation yeah. because I felt very guilty. Because I knew that's why they couldn't make it.
Did anything ever happen to the... Did they ever find the guys who put the sugar in the gas tanks?
They never found. They never paid any attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I,
Well, now what you're doing it now. You're telling everybody now. Everybody yep. will know.
They're all dead. Yeah. But it was too bad because I felt so badly. So they said, go ahead, talk about it. They're waiting for something.
Something
to shut
your
program down. Yep. And that's just the thing we could use. So I didn't go forward. But that was pretty tough, I tell you, knowing what they had done, because they were some of my friends.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't it, something similar happened during the women's air race?
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
It?
Well, they think it was similar.
Sabotage.
But in 1929, when the ladies ran the first air race, there was rumors that people were doing that to them, and one of the gals crashed. Two and they no proof, no nothing.
Yep. Covered it up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just so happy what I'm seeing today to be seeing women recognized as women and as pilots.
But we're not done yet, are we?
It does my heart good.
But we're not done yet, are we? We still have a long way to go, don't we?
Yes, we do. But at least they've made a good...
They've made some progress.
A good progress into what they're doing.
Yeah. Where do you think it's going to go from here? With women flying and pilots and...
Oh, the sky's unlimited.
I love it.
The sky's unlimited. I don't mean to talk too long.
No,
oh, you're
fine.
Doing great. We were just wondering, with Jackie, she guys taught you a lot of discipline. So how did that carry over into your life late? Did that carry over after you were done with your service? Like,
well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I came from a family that we were women, and women were always supposed to be, you know, mute. And I wasn't like that. After I was in the service, I always had something to say. And it isn't that I, I don't know what you call me. But anyway, I always was a little more outgoing.
A little bit of a rebel, perhaps?
Yeah.
Than the rest of my family. We had four girls in our family and one boy. Mm-hmm. And, But this really helped me to come out of my, whatever you call it, and realize that I really could do something on my own. Because always before, I was with my sisters and my,
That's amazing. That's amazing that you guys got to do that. That you, it did that opportunity, as awful as other things surrounding it were, you still had that chance and you got to do it.
I had the chance and I flew and I had such a marvelous time. And later these last years, it's been so wonderful. They've invited me to air shows. I am talking. I am telling my story and it pleases me. I've been to 31 states telling my story.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
And you get to meet some pretty amazing people along the way too. Some other
wonderful.
World War II veterans
yes.
and other amazing people.
I have met wonderful people, and they're so gracious, and I'm just glad that I'm alive, and I'm glad I'm able to tell my story.
We're glad you're able to tell your story, too. We're so happy to have you here with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Oh, and we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with another guest.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the all-new Warbird Radio Live channel. We're happy to be back on the air right across from the runway at Washington Reagan International Airport. Be sure and tune in Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern each week for Warbird Radio Live, followed by a new episode of one of our top-tier shows like the R.C. Scale Builder Show, Hartman & Hines, Over the Front, and the all-new Texas Warbird Report and Wings Over New Zealand Show. Listen, this station is all about community, so please join up with us on Tuesday nights and call in and become part of the fun and part of the family. Thanks again for tuning in, and join us Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
And we're back with Air Raid Radio, and we have our new guest joining us, and her name is Kaylee Bordner, and she is a commercial pilot who is going to... You are currently at Indiana... What?
Indiana State University. I'm going into my junior year there. So.
Oh, great. And Kaylee flew in to Oshkosh on Mike Porter's Stearman that was at Avenger Field. And how'd that go for you?
It went really well. It's such an honor, and I just don't know how to explain the feeling that I have when I'm flying such a, you know, historic plane when it was with, you know, it served with the Wasp. I mean, that's huge for me. I've always been inspired by them, and, you know, they've always been sort of my heroes, and it's just such an honor to be able to fly in on that.
Yeah, and how was that flying in compared to everything else that you fly? What's it like? What's the difference in the...
Is it nerve-wracking at all?
Oh, my goodness. it's not necessarily nerve-wracking. It's... I don't know how to explain it. Everything that I fly with the university throughout my flight training, it's always been, you know, more of the modern standard training aircraft, Cessna 172s, Diamond, DA-40s, all closed cockpit, more automation. So it's really different to get into something that's so...
Open.
Huh? Open. Yeah, so open. It has more of a free feeling, I guess. Mm-hmm. You have... so many senses going on. You can smell the exhaust, you just feel the air temperature and the wind going past your face. I mean, it's so different. I don't know how to explain it. You just have to be like, you have to fly it to really understand how it feels.
Yeah, and it must be really cool to think about what Liz and the other Wasp were doing when they were in that same plane over 70 years ago.
Oh, for sure. Every time I step in that plane, you know, I remember, wow, you know, these women flew this airplane, and it's just, it almost, sometimes it makes me tear up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And just be able to flying it, like just being able to fly that. And I took a sunrise flight with Mike one time in the Stearman, and just, it was almost like the ghosts came out and the plane started talking. It was so interesting, and it was just like... It almost made me cry.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Liz. Amy was just pointing out a note to me, which is a really great question, is what kind of advice do you have for Kaylee?
Keep flying.
I'm playing on it.
I'm so proud of you young ladies that are doing what we wanted to do and what we were not allowed to do. I'm so happy. You are continuing and flying if you want that. God bless you.
Well, one of my main goals is to also kind of continue your guys' legacy, because that's just...
Yeah, that's absolutely what you guys are doing. The Wasps are some of the ladies who've paved the way for you guys to... You can get jobs now. You're not getting denied, being pushed away. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Proud of young people like this. Because my heart put to know that you are continuing what we tried to do.
Yeah. That means so much coming from you.
God bless you.
Yeah, and as far as we've come, there's still a lot more work to be done. We're still, 6%?
Oh, yeah.
Pilot.
Mm-hmm. Even at the Indiana State University in the flight program, I looked at the numbers and I compared, and there's only 6% of our students are female. So,
wow. You
know, being able to have this opportunity to, you know, do the air race and go to school and then to fly such a monumental aircraft with so much history behind it to kind of help promote women in aviation, it means a lot to me. And you know, it's something that I want to continue and try and draw in younger girls and, you know, women of all ages to say, you know, hey, you can do this too, because they've done it, you know, in years past, and they've broken down. They've had it really hard. I feel like I have it easy. They had it so much harder than I did, and I thank them for that. And it means so much that somebody before me decided to break down those barriers that I can do what I'm doing now, what I love to do, and I don't have to, you know, worry about the sabotage and all that kind of stuff if that happens. And
you don't have it, like, you don't have the same, you don't have the same stress. You don't have to fight back all the time.
No.
Doors are open that you can go through and just get one of the things Amy and I are hoping to accomplish with this show is to get it out to more ladies.
Yep.
The more and more ladies see that others ladies flying, they'll know that they can do it too.
Well, and even, you know, not just flying too, but I work on the aircraft at the museum we volunteer at. And there are, you know, a handful, I'd probably say 6%, you know, of the ladies being active.
Even mechanics. Yeah.
So it's so important for me to be able to show the young ladies that come in, you know, in the high school age that they can work on the planes. You want to work on the planes? Go for it. You want to fly the planes? Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And every time
nobody
I talk
tell
to,
you no.
to people who don't, I mean, like, I love airplanes. You love airplanes. We all love airplanes. but when I talk to my friends and ladies who don't know anything about this, when I talk about the WASP, they're like, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And they want to learn more. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And thank you for doing what you're doing. It pleases me.
So, you're welcome.
So, Kaylee, you're going to school, but you're also a commercial pilot, right?
I just got my commercial license, so I can now start looking for, you know, jobs on the side. I'm going to be getting my certified flight instructor's license here pretty soon, so I'll be instructing at the university, and then that's when I'll kind of transition in after I graduate into a job, hopefully in the corporate aviation world. But I also want to continue doing the warbirds and stuff because
absolutely.
The history behind it is so important, and, you know, when that generation is gone, I mean, their stories, if they're not told and carried on, are going to be lost. So I feel like my generation has the responsibility of, you know,
it's our job to carry it on.
Continuing that story.
Yeah. Scream it from the mountaintops wherever you can.
Yep.
Don't forget these amazing women.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're amazing, Liz. Like, you and all the rest of them.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks.
And she's so modest, too.
I know.
She's like, I'm kind of a big deal. I know.
Well, I'm just so happy that you are able to do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to just go for it and keep flying.
I plan on it. I thank you for opening every barrier and the doors for me to do what I'm doing. So
good.
It means a lot to me. I'm honored to be able to, you know, sit here with you. And
thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So I know Kaylee because we air raced together last year.
How cool was that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience on the air race?
So I've been participating in the Air Race Classic for 2 years now. And it's been absolutely amazing. I really didn't know what it was before I came to school. And then I got involved with it. And I started researching the history behind it because I love history. And when I learned it, about the history, I just, you know, felt like I had this mission to, you know, continue that legacy of such amazing women who, you know, flew across the country. And my experiences with it have been amazing. I've learned so much. I've learned about, you know, my aircraft, sensing everything in the plane and, you know, being able to predict the weather and to read the charts and to just get along and meeting so many women and the camaraderie and just, I guess, the friendships that you make during that time, that they last a lifetime. And being able to participate a second year and going back and meeting up with all those women again is great because it's like an annual reunion where you don't see many of these women anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's just nice to be able to go out and to do something like an air race, which is pretty awesome, I think. And just, you know, have the camaraderie with your friends, pretty much.
Yeah, and Schutze Reynolds, who's also a WASP, met you guys on one of your stops this year.
Oh, yeah, Schutze, definitely, yeah. She was there. I was super excited to see her because, you know, I kind of had a little insider, you know, tell me that Schutze was going to be there. I was super excited, and I got there, and I got to meet her, and it was just absolutely amazing because I've heard so much about, you know, her and the WASP and Liz and everybody else. To just meet one of them for the first time, I was just overwhelmed.
And that's the first time you've ever gotten to meet
a WASP.
One of the WASP.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely amazing. So we got to sit down and talk for a while, and she was just so sweet and kind and honestly, she's still pretty fiery.
Seems like yes, all of them. I think they all are.
I think all of them are.
Liz, did you ever meet Shutzi Reynolds?
Well, Shutzi Reynolds?
Yeah.
She's my buddy.
Is she? Oh, awesome.
Yeah, she's got a fire under her, too.
Oh, yeah.
I love Shutzi Williams.
Yeah. Shutzi Reynolds. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Shutzi, I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do, too. She's a great girl.
Yeah.
Wonderful girl. And she did so many wonderful things for our Wasps.
I can tell.
She was our stores, you know. She took care of our stores. She made wonderful things for us.
She still does.
She actually made me a pair of wings. They're the last wings that she's ever made. And I got the leather band, and we attached it to the leather band with the aircraft rivets. And I wear it proudly. And everywhere I go, I be sure to say, like, this is the Wasp wings, you know.
Good.
And tell the stories and stuff.
I'm glad somebody told the stories of what we did.
Well, hopefully I'll get more chances to sit down and talk with you guys and kind of learn more. And
well, that's why I've been to 31 states. I love to get my programs. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm in Minneapolis and St. Paul a lot. But I love to go to states that have not heard of us before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A woman, pal? What's that? I said, here I am.
I know.
So, Liz, have you flown the Stearman before? Do you remember flying the Stearman?
Yes, I flew the Stearman many times.
Do you like that plane?
I love that plane. It does a lot of acrobatics.
So, making more pilots sick, huh?
Yeah.
Do an acro with them.
They're very good to me.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you obviously flew it at Avenger Field.
Yeah.
And is that the same plane that Mike Porter's plane that's here? Is that the same one that you flew in?
I haven't seen the one here.
The number 12 Silver Stearman that was based out of Avenger Field. Did you get to fly that?
It was sure. If it's from Avenger Field, I flew it.
So you and Kaylee have potentially flown the same plane just 70 years apart from each other.
That's
a pretty amazing connection.
Yeah, it is. I think of it every time I even look at the plane.
Yeah. And it's completely different from the kinds of planes you fly now.
Oh, yeah. I think it takes so much more skill and kind of like intuition to fly it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to know it needed skill. Nobody told me.
Well, I'm sure you guys had it back then. You probably still have it, too.
Oh, I could fly.
Oh, I know you could.
When was the last time you flew, Liz?
Well, I was up at your place and I flew.
You flew the PT.
Where was I just recently? I'll think about it. I'm sorry. I'm only 95. I don't remember things.
Don't worry. I forget things, too. So.
Okay. God bless you. Well, you keep flying for all of us, darling.
I plan on it. I will.
So, Liz, you flew the Mustang, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? That's a pretty fun plane.
What?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. What was the story you were taught? You told us a story last year about when you'd get lost when you were flying.
Well, you know,
how you'd figure out where you were?
Oh, yeah. You see, we had no signs on silos and buildings and things like that to tell us where we were. So we go down and read road signs.
They straight to the road sign.
Find out where we were.
That's awesome. That'd be so much fun.
So if you ever get lost, you just got to go to the roadside level and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you guys had gone into combat and you had your own plane, what would you have put on your nose art?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. What did I put on my nose art?
Yeah. Would you, you know how all the guys have scantily clad women, right? What would you have put on there?
Oh.
Maybe we can't talk about this on the air.
No, that's all right. No, I'll just say keep them flying.
Okay.
Okay. Keep it clean.
That's safe.
Keep it clean. Keep them flying.
We could get, you should have a lovely young gentleman on there. And
there you
go. The pose art, or the nose art poses.
There you go.
I got my nose art on a couple airplanes.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you have your name on some of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
So you have, how many kids do you have?
Five.
You have five kids.
Children.
And most of them travel with you as well? to get all these air shows.
Well,
so you
I
can
had
meet
Pat.
People
and God bless him. He passed away.
Yep, I met. Yeah, Pat was a. He was a great.
He was a
great
honey.
Kid.
And now Arthur is my oldest son, and he takes me places.
Art's pretty great too.
Yeah,
he's here with us right now.
Yeah.
And he has a blog about you, from what I understand. He has a blog on the internet.
Oh, does he?
I think so, yeah. And he's got some great stories up there that maybe we'll have,
oh, yeah,
to,
we'll
have to share the link on our Facebook page.
You can learn.
Uh-oh, maybe the cat's out of the bag. Maybe I shouldn't have told her.
So we still have a little bit more time left on our show, and Mike Porter is here with us. And he
Hi, Mike.
Is the actually the one who found and restored this Dearman that's here on the field that was at Avenger Field. So, Mike, you want to tell us a little bit about your plane and how you found it?
Well, our airplane, we've been affiliated with it about as long as I can remember. I grew up around it. It had several different owners at time periods when I was growing up. But we first got seriously involved with the aircraft when my dad was asked to fly it in a ride business in about 1991 time period in New York City. Did sightseeing rides across the New York Harbor there by the World Trade Center, it circled the Statue of Liberty and come back. It was a rather profitable and very busy airplane for that particular time period, but it was worn out. Nobody knew the history. They burnt out on that airplane, sold the business, and we ended up acquiring the aircraft. I said, well, I want to know the history of the airplane. Now, keep in mind, we acquired the airplane about 1996. I was just getting my private pilot license. Already been flying the Stearman. I was soloed it on my, 16th birthday. I didn't get my license in it because couldn't find an FAA examiner willing to do it. Funny how that happened, but oh well. Back to the story on the airplane. Researched the history on it, got the archive records back from the Air Force and the Smithsonian. They both confirmed the airplane was at Avenger Field. I went, well, now we have something for the day that we do restore the airplane of significant history. Let's find a picture. That began an 8-year search for the photographs. Found the photographs of the airplane, started collecting parts. In 2007 was when the airplane was restored. I took 11 months doing it, and I was doing a customer's airplane as well. Full ground-up rebuild, scratch-built the center section, new wood spars, everything ground up, right back to the way it was to the smallest detail, matching the photographs of the airplane that it was based at Avenger. So that's the way it sits
now.
Since that time period, the airplane has been out and flying. It now has 900 hours on it since the rebuild. Everybody still asks me if I just finished it, which I find amusing. And, we go around the country trying to tell the WASP story. I mean, it's a big, significant part of history that nobody seems to know about.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really important for, as we discussed before, for the younger generation now. And just anybody who doesn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Men, women, young, old, everybody.
It's not just
to know.
Female in this particular circumstance.
No.
I mean, you guys carved the path for women in aviation, but you also carved the path for people to say, you know what, I have a dream. Nobody's going to stop me. We're going to go out.
It.
We're going to go through the toughest qualifications, and we don't want special treatment. Go out and do it.
Yep. Yeah, you can set a goal and you can make it.
You know, I got to tell you, I've got a plane named after me in Oshkosh here.
You do?
Yeah.
Betty Walsh-Dolphus, that's me.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of you.
And then there's also one that's going to be at the airport of Sweetwater, and it's a BT-13.
Very nice.
And they're
Wonderful.
Completing it, and that too has my name on it.
Mm.
I am so thrilled.
That's great.
To have my name on something like that because I love to fly those planes.
The BT is a great airplane, too.
And it's so wonderful to see them continue flying.
Yeah, that must have been rotten to have the thing you worked so hard for and you were so passionate about just taken away from you.
Oh, well. then I got married, had 5 wonderful children, and I've had a good life. God's been awful good
to
me.
You just got to keep on
And
trucking.
Then there are people like this little lady here who has me come over where they have airplanes, and I get rides.
Anytime. Anytime.
I love it.
And when I get my pilot's license,
we'll
go up.
I love it.
Yeah. And I know Mike takes some of the WASP up, too, in the Stearman.
It's enjoyable. One quick note, if we have the time.
Yep.
You may not remember the Sweetwater reunion that I took and flew the airplane down. You commented to Schutze and B that wasn't it nice that somebody painted the airplane up like the ones you used to fly, and I politely said, oh, that is it.
Thanks for reminding me.
I'll never forget that. I felt that was hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah. That's amazing it's that not you just, found that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just like the airplane. It is the airplane.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, that's amazing. He brought her back to life for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all thanking you, Liz.
Yeah.
And you're and the gals that were with you.
We wouldn't be here otherwise.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
well,
true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here and chatting today.
Yeah.
This has been awesome. It's our second program, and Amy and I are really excited that you guys could be here.
Yeah,
and
thank you guys so much.
Thanks to Matt Jolly, our producer.
Woo!
Yeah, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.